Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name is Steve, and this week we have a very special interview with Hossein Rahnama, the founder and CEO of Flybits. Please hit subscribe to keep up with this and the latest in FinTech news. This is Steve filling in for John, and I'm here with Monica.
Hello.
Hi, and we're joined by Hossein Rahnama, who is the founder and CEO of Flybits, a context as a service provider. Hey, Hossein, thanks for joining.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Monica. Nice talking to you.
Great to have you here. So, Hossein, before we get started, what does Flybits do?
If you look at the consumer sector, you're seeing that channels are becoming more and more predictive. Look at Siri on Apple, Google Now on Android, Alexa on Amazon. So the question for the Fortune 500, especially banks, is, well, how do I make my digital channels predictive and contextualized? Am I going to hire tens or hundreds of data scientists and commit to building software in a very mechanical fashion in my organization? Or there can be a platform that hides the complexity of data unification, normalization, synthesis, and machine learning. And instead of over-relying on the IT organization of the bank or the large organization, I can now go empower the marketing units or the creative units of the organization. So in a nutshell, Flybits is a platform, we call it a platform as a service, that hides all of those complexities, and it enables the creative units in an organization to build these types of next generation use cases without worrying about algorithmic complexity.
So I know that financial services and banks tend to be sort of slow moving with technology, maybe a lot of a lot of technical debt and legacy systems. So how did you choose financial services as the vertical that you want to focus on for this platform?
So this goes back to the history of Flybits. When we spun off the technology from our research lab, we applied the technology to a lot of sectors. We applied it in connected cities, transportation, retail. But it was about 4 years ago that we partnered with a number of large banks in the UK and in North America. And we realized that, wow, they have a lot of data, but these data sets are pretty siloed in the organization. And anytime that they want to leverage these data sets, they go and develop some very bespoke set of capabilities that cannot scale. So then we started to apply our technology into the banking sector and started to see a lot of interesting results, both quantifiable results and also qualitative. And after that, the company, although kept its technology pretty horizontal, it kept its focus on the financial sector. So currently we are selling our technology to large retail banks, asset management firms, and insurance companies.
So Hossein, can you give us an example of how a customer of one of these firms who are your clients, how might they interact with your platform, even if they don't know they're interacting with your platform?
Sure. So Flybits can be embedded as a widget into a digital channel. And by a digital channel, I mean it can be a native app on Android or iOS. It can be a web channel, like on a mobile or a stationary website. Or also it can be on a voice assistant like Alexa. Now, when you embed our recommendation concierge in that channel, the user needs to opt into the program. The privacy of the user is extremely important to us. We follow the GDPR compliance, although at the moment it's a European directive. We apply that methodology across all our deployments around the world. So when the user opts into the program, the concierge starts to learn from their preferences and from their context, and it starts to become better and better. So essentially what happens after the Flybits concierge is activated on the digital channel, the customer starts to receive some very personalized set of services on their device. And usually those services are divided between core banking services. And recently, we are seeing banks actually leveraging this technology to go into other verticals, such as partnering with merchants, airlines, transit operators. And I can share some examples with you on that. So few use cases that I can share with you. One of our key partners is TD Bank in US and Canada. And if you download their app, after you activate their TD For Me concierge, the user starts to receive a lot of personalized recommendations. For example, if I'm a customer and my mortgage is up for renewal in the next 3 months, if I am walking by a branch and that branch happens to have a mortgage specialist available at that time, I can receive a message on my device inviting me to go to the branch to renew my mortgage. So the ability of bringing sensory data from the phone, in this case location, data coming from a mainframe such as the mortgage data, in addition to the availability of a staff member at a branch level, and very quickly put those data sets together and create a logic and create an action for the customer is a capability of Flybits in that case. Or there are banks that are leveraging external data sets. Think about the MLS database across North America, the Open Real Estate database, or platforms such as Zoopla in the UK or Trulia in the US. Those data sets are now coming into our context engine. We correlate it with things such as credit scores coming from platforms like Experian and Equifax. And let's say we now have a use case in the market that if a customer is going to a lot of open houses, we will be able to engage with them and give them a pre-approved mortgage offer on their device because we know what type of homes they are looking at, what neighborhoods, what credit score they have. And of course, this is a feature in which the user has opted into. And anytime they are not comfortable, within a click or within a tap on their device, they can remove their subscription and we delink all their data. So these are two examples in the kind of the lending and mortgage space.
It's like you knew what my next question was.
No, that's perfect. So this is what we see in the lending space, in the card services, especially with the business units of banks that are focused on cards. We have use cases that allows the bank to partner with loyalty program providers. So now we have a deployment across North America that if you purchase your airfare with a provided credit card that is affiliated with an airline, when you arrive at the airport, you will become eligible for an incentive, whether it's an upgrade or access to a lounge. And the bank, in partnership with their partner, they have full control over how many people, what percentage of the users. And these are all the tools that they have put in place, but our system starts to learn from the behavior of the system and starts to optimizing it. The third area that we are seeing a lot of interest is in the wealth management space. A lot of our partners, especially a very big wealth management organization, came to us about 2 years ago and said, well, everyone these days is building a robo-advisor. And, you know, the ergonomics of using a robo-advisor is that you set up your portfolio and then you go and check your portfolio once a month or once a year to see how your investment performs. However, that data is not coming to the daily life of a customer. So what we are doing with this partner is that we are building an abstraction layer on top of the robo-advisor strategy. So when a user is basically going through their daily life, we will be able to give them these contextualized nudges, enabling them to drive better financial behavior. So an example of that is, if we identify that a young urban professional got paid a bonus in their checking account, but that liquid asset is there for more than a month, but also through a call center or a CRM, the user may have indicated interest in an ETF or another type of an investment instrument, we know at what time and on what channel we can engage with that user and say, if you move X amount of cash from that checking account into that investment instrument, you will be steps closer to retirement, or you can buy a holiday home. So this is another way of contextualizing those investment instruments and really applying it to the daily life of a customer. So this was another example on what we do in the wealth space.
Well, that was really helpful. And while I'm certainly gratified that you're abiding by GDPR across your operational footprint, I mean, these examples that you're sharing with me, oh my gosh, we are living inside the panopticon. And, you know, I think about my relationship with my financial service providers, and they already know an extraordinary amount about me. And to a certain degree, to a high degree, I don't want them tracking my location. I don't want a lounge upgrade at an airport so badly that I want to give them all the information to get that. So I'm sure you've heard objections like this before, and you have shared examples here that are both beneficial for your clients, the financial services firms, as well as those that are beneficial for your customers' clients. So I don't mean to say that, you know, there's nothing good happening here, but when you hear my objections around, ooh, I just don't want anybody knowing that much about me and collating that info, even if I can go in and delete it, what would you say that I'm missing?
That is a great question. So when we address the issue of privacy, privacy for us is not just a data science phenomenon. It's also a design and a user experience phenomenon. So the way we handle data is that almost all the use cases that I mentioned, the personalization is being done on an encrypted set of data while the data is being tokenized. So I don't want to make it too technical, but let me explain what that means. Mm-hmm. Currently, in most cases, when a bank or a larger organization is kind of working on their personalization strategy, they co-locate all the data in one location or repository. Sometimes they refer to it as a data lake, and they require all of that data to process, and usually a lot of that data is identifiable. The way we handle the data is that we only work on tokenized data and we work on aggregate data sets. So we will be able to target, let's say, a group of demography at a particular airport, but we don't know, especially Flybits does not know anything about that user, who that user is, and we have no ability to re-identify that data. So there are a number of techniques that are being introduced currently in the market, which is very promising, especially for the future of AI and machine learning, which allows a company like Flybits to do personalization without looking at identifiable data. And kind of the premises of that is that instead of me co-locating the data in one location, I keep the data where it's supposed to be, and I agree with the data in terms of what questions I can ask from that data. And when the action is being triggered on the channel, I remove all of that data from our cloud. So I mention this because there could be a way that we don't create a trade-off between functionality and privacy by working on innovation around data science and design. At the same time, I think there are lots of new ways that you can still provide these services, but the identity of the customer can be fully protected.
Thank you for that.
From your client's perspective, what kind of benefits can they drive from using the Flybits platform?
We have seen different types of ROI. Some of these, of course, for banks are very quantitative. So let's say in the lending space, in the card services space, in insurance, there are metrics that are very quantifiable. And usually those are the first set of use cases that our customers and partners start with. Now, at the same time, digital engagement is becoming a very important metric for these large banks. And the more the user spends time on their app, you know, it's becoming more valuable for them. So now, in addition to those classic financial ROIs, we are seeing that banks are also creating more useful services, enabling their customers live an easier life. So let me give you an example. What we have done with our partner, TD, is that we now use our machine learning capability to let a user know if their train is running late or there is a platform change if they are taking these suburban trains in the Greater Toronto Area. So the first feedback for the bank was, well, why do you do this? I can go download the transit app. I can go to their website. Why would I rely on my banking app to receive updates on my train? Well, not even... Sorry?
I joke. Were you eavesdropping? Because when Steve was telling me about Flybits, that was my first question when he told me this example.
No, but it's becoming something very, very interesting for us to see because, you know, when you look at the data and the evolution of data, data is really shifting companies from verticals to verticals. You have retailers now that are going into hospitality because they understand their customers and they now go build hotels. Look at Louis Vuitton, for example. Look at, you know, what an athletic wear company can do in partnering with an insurance company. So when you look at a bank, right, with all the data assets that you have, I think the bank of the future is can actually be a great recommendation engine that, of course, is giving you financial recommendation and financial products. But because of all the data assets that they have, while they protect your privacy, they can actually help you to live a better life, to make better decisions in many cases. Many banks think about, well, do I really need branches anymore? Will people come to branches? Well, there are two lines of thoughts there. One is, well, branches will go away. The other one could be, well, the purpose of a branch could be this very hyper-local search engine for their community, that it brings the community together, and then that network effect can be monetized later on. So when you look at the impact of data and it what can do to banks, I think there are lots of interesting things that we can explore. And the example I shared with you, that a bank went and partnered with a transit operator to increase the engagement with their app, but at the same time, they use that data to understand their customers better, are some of the new ways that we think banks can innovate.
I think I might be just too cynical and suspect that ultimately banks are going to use the great bulk of their data energy on their bottom line. And I don't begrudge them that. They're in business. But it seems to me like some of these more societal or community benefits may very well be lost quite quickly if they don't pan out financially.
It is correct, but also look at the role of regulations here. So let's say if you look at Europe and this concept of open banking, that is actually putting a pressure on banks to deliver useful services and because they no longer have ownership of the data. So the service should be good enough for the user to share the data with them. And I think the healthy dynamics between what the regulation is pushing banks to do and the expectation of the users will actually push the banks to become more and more innovative. So I think that's one way to look at it. And, you know, of course, there are different banks, there are different, they have different DNAs and mindsets. But I think there are different regulators, exactly. So the regulation that, for example, is in Europe, we may not need to copy it in the US, but we can learn from it and then really come up with models that allows banks and this ecosystem between banks and fintechs and data providers to become more effective. I have one example to share with you. We have a very large asset management firm came to us and said, you know what, my current business model is more or less based on service fees. And can you kind of leverage social networks and network effects that you have seen on the internet to completely change my business model? So the thinking of that now we have the bank, the bank has this new generation of customers. They call them affluent millennials, kind of, they are going to be their future customers. And they have the high net worths, which is kind of in a phase of their life that they want to mentor someone. So we use social networks and some of our contextualization capabilities to create a mentor-mentee relationship between these customers. And the thinking of this bank is that, well, in future, instead of just, you know, monetizing these assets using service fees, I can now create a very healthy dynamic and a network effect around the bank. Now, are all the business models completely verified there? No, but I think when we see some of the banks are thinking this way and learning from what happened on the intranet and the disruption factor there, I think it's a promising sign.
Great stuff there. Actually, this is a good segue to my next question, which is, you know, we of course have GDPR in the US. We have a number of states pushing forward some privacy laws. Yep. Famously in California here, we have CCPA. And I wonder, what are you doing to kind of keep abreast or make sure that you're compliant with the hodgepodge of regulations across geographies and even states, if you look at the US?
So I think privacy as a best practice is something important, and it's a notion of privacy by design, in the sense that privacy should not be thought as an afterthought. It should be addressed during the design process. I think if that model is in place, then things such as regulation can be done and can be implemented on kind of upper layers of that technology stack. So if you build a system, which in most cases in these days are cloud-based, meaning that you can replicate it from region to region or geography to geography, that layer of deployment is more or less identical around the world. However, when you go from, you know, one geography to another, you can easily apply those business logics during kind of the application deployment or presentation deployment in those geographies. In over the past, you know, 2 years or so, a lot of the use cases we saw in the US were based on opting out. Europe naturally is becoming more and more about opting in. And I think, you know, the more you kind of think about a hybrid model in which I want to create use cases that are useful to the customer and let them to decide what they want to do, I think it's going to be important. Let me give you an example. The design of such services is as important as understanding regulation. So in all our deployments, you can access the privacy button with one or maximum two taps. And then you can turn off services that you're not comfortable with. And minor things such as in advance of your operating system telling you that, oh, your location is being used by this app, a lot of our customers are curating these stories for the user saying, hey, we want to use your location because we want to provide this service. And by the way, anytime you're not comfortable, you can opt out from the program. Just by doing these minor things on the design level, the opting in process and the uptake of such services can be significantly improved.
Great, good stuff. Well, thank you again, Hossein. Before we drop, just a very quick follow-up. What is your favorite or coolest use case you've seen of the Flybit platform in the wild?
The coolest use case I have seen is that our platform is capable of providing relevant financial offers based on the life stage of a customer. So our data science team in California, they have mapped about 6 life stages for a classic banking customer. So someone who is, you know, going into college and then they are looking to getting married and buying their first home. And then, you know, all of those life stages are now being mapped into our system and seeing that kind of these types of things are actually coming into our machine learning capabilities. So different people based on their life stage, the geography, the country that they live in can start to receive some very relevant product offers on their device is actually something that very interesting for us and seeing the impact of that.
I wonder how far along I am in the life stages.
Well, that's a good way to end it. Thank you again, Hossein Rounama from Flybits, a context as a service company in Toronto. And thanks for listening.